Good morning. It's 28th of August. Our first reading for the day is 2 Kings chapters 1 and 2. I'm going to read to you from a book by Brother David Wood entitled Elisha, the Neglected Prophet. Brother Wood first invites us to consider Elijah's reaction when he is instructed to appoint his successor. I now read. Perhaps also as he travelled northwards, Elijah would think of the similarity of their names. Elijah, God is the Lord, and Elisha, God is salvation. We note the similarity between Eliseus, which is the Greek form used in Luke 4, verse 27, and Jesus, another who would bear a name of salvation. While we are in the realm of sanctified imaginings, we may think how brave it must have been for Shaphat and his wife to decide upon the name Elisha when their son was born. Remember that they lived in evil times, when the worship of Baal was almost overwhelming their society. The names and their meanings were much more important in those days than they are today, and we feel that there was an element of courageous testimony to the true God of Israel in the choice of this name at such a time. The child's name proclaimed the faith and loyalty of the parents. Such could have been a thought in the mind of Elijah as he turned his footsteps up the Jordan Valley to the farm of Shaphat in Abel Meholah. He had been told that there were still 7,000 faithful to God in Israel, a remnant according to the election of grace, as there was also in the day when Paul cited this quotation in Romans 11, verses 4 and 5. And it still remains true today, thank God. Elijah was being sent to one of those households in Israel where knees were not bowed to Baal, where no lips kissed the image of false gods in submission and allegiance. Here, at least, was a demonstration that he, Elijah, was not the only one left of the prophets of God. God chooses workers. Elisha was already experienced in the rigours of the farming year, seed time and harvest, when the mantle of Elijah was dropped upon him. He was not sitting indoors meditating on the minutiae of the law, but was sharing in the rigours of providing for the needs of the family. Like the household of Zebedee, the father of John and James many generations later, there were servants in the establishment. So we assume that it was a reasonably settled and comfortable background that Shaphat managed. Though we cannot be certain of this, Elisha seems to have had more sterling qualities than many a rich young ruler, since he was prepared at a moment's notice to say farewell to home and kindred, never to return, as far as the record of Scripture reveals. In this, we may be going beyond reasonable assumption, but certainly, when the time came to choose whether to stay at home and continue the settled life of the farm, or to join the wanderings and privations of Elijah, the strange man of God, there was no hesitation. Elisha left the plough where he was working, and, putting his hand on a greater work of ploughing, never looked back. I deliberately make the point in this way, writes Brother Wood, because some have read the request of Elisha in wishing to say farewell to his parents as showing his doubt or reluctance to follow Elijah. I do not see it this way at all, but as a very reasonable request to comply with the fifth commandment in honouring his parents before leaving and thanking them for the constant provision of a godly home in which his upbringing had undoubtedly prepared him for the very different work that lay ahead. And that work he undertook to the honour and glory of God. Thank you for listening.